Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah. Woo. Let's go.
Y'all need to sit back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the rise.
And we ride and I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of
come on.
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Yes, 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 Sports City Chefs. We are in the building. It is the Callers Cookout here live at the grill, I guess you can say, Sports City Chefs Network, the Callers Cookout. Where the villain versus timeless, where good always wins. I don't know why they say that good always wins. No, the villain wins. The bad people win. We can win a couple sometimes, you know. I root for G.I. Joe against Cobra. I root for Cobra. I'm rooting for G.I. Joe. You know what I'm saying? We're going to win this thing. But call the number, as always, 929-477-2759. With you for the next day. We'll see how long we're cooking for. Maybe hour plus. You see what dishes we throw out here for the people. We got to feed them. Shout out to my boy, Cav. Cav Barmap and my big bro, Taz Diami. They performed this past weekend at International Festival doing the damn thing. So they do our theme song. You know, they're great. Check them out. They got music out there, the original music. Shout out to our sponsors of the program, PHI Apparel. Get to their website, phi.co. Use that promo code CHEF. Get 15% off that order. Get that Philly gear. You're going to need it because the Phillies had a great day out in Philadelphia. I think Michael Lorenz pitched the 14th no-hitter in Phillies history. He completed a no-hitter today for the Phillies, blanking. Who did they play? I don't even remember who they played today. It escapes the villain, the Washington. Washington's a terrible team. But beat them 7-0, but threw a no-hitter today. So get your Philly gear. Use that promo code CHEF. Get 15% off that order. Get that no-no. You know, I'm pretty sure they're going to have something out there. But listen, I don't do this alone. Every good villain needs a hero. Every good hero needs a villain. I got the best hero in the world, the head honcho himself, the host with the most, TP Timeless. TP, what's up, my big brother?
Nothing much, man. Just chilling, just getting in there to the cookout and ready to throw the thing around the room, man. How are you?
I'm good. You didn't loosen up the tie, go in the booth and step, you know, what are we doing? Step aside and... No, nothing. This is, we good? We good, brother? We good?
You don't even know if it's the cookout or not. You don't even know if the good's supposed to beat the bad. I don't know. So I'm going to just go with your flow. I'm going to go over your energy, man. I was told to be negative or positive energy. So I'm going to go. I don't know if it's the cookout. So we're going to go off of that.
We're going to
roll off of that. And Michael, I'm going to do it the right way. Michael Lorenzen, he said Michael Lorenz. He don't even know who y'all playing. And he's a doggone National League East guy and don't even know it's the Washington Nationals and trying to inform y'all Sports City. It's okay, man. I'm gonna roll off
the National League East guy.
You're a New York Mets fan. So this Sports City, I'm gonna roll off of this guy right now. You know what I'm saying? This is what he giving y'all. So he said that the bad wins. I'm that part of the show where kids cry. They're like, no, don't let Timeless lose like this. That's what he says. So his powers are working today. We're going to work off of Barry's energy. The villain is winning today. This is what y'all get for.
Yeah, look, yeah. Listen, because every time, like, the villain always loses, good always wins. That's that. I root for Cobra against G.I. Joe. I root for the Decepticons. You know what I'm saying? I rooted for Sosa against Tony Montana and Scarface. You know what I'm saying? Like, listen, bad people got to win too. Nah, it's all love. You know I love the TP. You know I love. But don't do that to the people and tell them that I'm a naturally East guy. They might believe that. You keep saying that.
Oh, Sport City, we can go straight to the villain's lair. I can show you Mets paraphernalia. None of the people in that household are Mets fans. I wonder why. How did they get it? They're not. Never mind, Sport City. We'll leave that alone. But I in the words of Arsenio Hall. Things that make you go,
See how he does? See, and then I'm the villain. I'm the bad guy. He does that to me. Listen, people, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I love the people. The villain's here for the children.
He loves the people? He loves the people? He's lying to you people. He's lying. He is lying. That's why he's smiling and laughing. He is lying to you. He said that the bad wins. He's lying. He's telling you Michael Lorenz. Who is he? I'm trying to help y'all. He don't even know who the dude pitching against. And he out here in the East. This is when he hit me with a shot in the back. He didn't even fight me fair. But it's okay. I'm gonna try to redeem myself some way somehow. Don't worry, y'all just stay focused.
Somehow, some way, I gotta make it out the hood someday. Thank you. It's all right, though. I love TP, though. I love him. He's like a brother to me. So, it's all good. Listen, I got another one. I'm gonna bring him in, Mr. Harvey, calling out of the 615, repping everything down to that New Orleans talk. What up, Mr. Harvey?
Yeah, what's going on, man? Listen, at phiapparel.co, I bet you they're going to have Michael Lorenzen jerseys available by the end of the week. Check them out.
I told you.
At checkout, get 15% off. Go ahead and get your Michael Lorenzen. Like, listen, I wasn't as impressed with this move. He pitched really good last time out, and again this time. Get your jerseys before he gets lit up like a Christmas tree in the postseason. But what's up, fellas? Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I mean... I got a picture of New York is getting lit up like a Christmas tree. I mean, nothing to do help. That's what I'm watching right now. I'm watching Severino get by the Chicago White Sox. Really, the Chicago White Sox. Disgusting. But good to hear your voice, Mr. Harvey. Let's get cooking, man. Let's get cooking. So, the first preseason game was in the books, the Jets and the Browns. Jets lost that 23-16. But after, that Hall of Fame game, and then, everything starts cooking a little lovely in the oven, you get Hard Knocks. And Hard Knocks debuted last night. So you have the first episode of the New York Jets on HBO's Hard Knocks. They do a great job with that show. TP, I don't know if you saw the first episode yet. It debuted late last night at 10 o'clock on HBO. But I don't know if you caught it, if you had any their first thoughts about that episode. If not, it's all good.
Yeah, I did not. I wasn't a fan of Hard Knocks until the boys came on last year, so I had to because my team was vested. But now, from what I'm hearing before the show, they was like, it's more or less Super Bowl or else, and the energy they're trying to give this run for this season, and it's like, let them get started before they start pegging teams with Super Bowl. And that's one thing that, and I don't really want to call it a hype, but, the expectancy that they put on these teams, and all they want to do is go out there and compete and do the best to get to Super Bowl. But when you're already trying to stamp them that because Rodgers is around, it makes it tough. They put the bullseye on their back. And they're in a loaded division right now. It's not going to be too easy for them. Buffalo, I still think, is the king of that division until the Jets prove it. And if Miami could get Ramsey back, it depends on how long Ramsey's out. But Ramsey's looking like he's going to be out for a considerable amount of time. The Dolphins are out there. I think the Patriots, are the team that's going to bring up the rear, even though a lot of people are trying to contest that. I try to hear that they said the Patriots won't come in last place. I'm like, well, then who? If they're not. So it's a good thing that this is going on. At least the Jets are buzz right now. And hearing so much news about how these receivers are kind of like growing to Rodgers and how this offense is trying to come together, and if they can get another running back there to help Breece Hall out, it'd be great. But I did not catch any of that Hard Knock, though. I didn't.
Okay. No, I did. I thought it was really good. First episode in, I was talking about it with a buddy of mine at my son's football practice, and yeah, they just do a great job. They really, I enjoy every season. I pretty much watch every season. I watched last year with the Lions. I thought they did a really good job. This year it got off to a good start. You know, obviously you got the lightning rod with Aaron Rodgers, Aaron. But, you know, they do a good job. And you know, I think the Jets are managing expectations, but I think the expectations, to your point, are big because, you know, you don't bring in Aaron Rodgers just to make it to the playoffs. You try to bring him in there to win and push your chips into the middle. So, you know, the hype is real. You can see it around. A lot of people were at the practice. Method Man was at the practice, TP. So, I mean, you know, he's a big Jets fan. A lot of the Wu-Tang members are Jets fans. But Curtis Martin was out there. When they were talking to Darrell Revis because he was up. There's just a lot of buzz around that team. Mike, I don't know if you caught any of that episode last night, you know, Hard Knocks. If you did, you know, let me know what you thought. You know, just you can wash over the expectations in New York.
Yeah, so honestly, you make a move like this because you expect to be able to contend. I agree with TP, you got to let him get out of the gate first, but I mean, that's why you give up the pieces you give up. You already had a decent year last year. You felt like you're a quarterback away. You know, Denver was a quarterback away last year too, right? So we saw how that turned out. So, I mean, end of the day, I understand why the expectations are there, especially in this media market. If you think you can contend, it's going to be there. The thing to me, and I have not watched it yet, and I know I'll watch the other episodes. I did check out some reviews on it, though. It's like a 53-minute episode, and they said that basically 45 of the minutes focused on Aaron Rodgers for the most part and getting up to this journey and all this kind of thing. So I've heard enough about that. They said there was about 6 or 7 minutes or whatever. There was another feature on Sauce Garner or whatever. So I mean, that's fine. But I heard enough about Aaron Rodgers in the off season and everything else that went on that I'm probably going to wait to the next episode and watch. I don't think it's going to like hurt me in the end or like I'm going to be able to not follow it. So I think I'm just going to wait. I don't really necessarily need to see 45 more minutes of anything devoted just to the newly, you know, the new Big Apple resident diva or anything. So, you know, I may skip and check out the part on South Garner and then pick up in week two. But, yeah, I definitely giant-sized expectations. What I can tell you is there have been giant-sized expectations for this man in Green Bay for the last several years. I've been to the championship game and all that, but we know how many rings he has and, yeah, you know, how many times they've been able to take home the big trophy. So, listen, Snoop Dogg told y'all years ago, pop your brakes, New York. I mean, maybe you have a good year, but, you know, we got some time to figure it out because just it says in the song, you are the one, you are the one. I don't know that as good as he is, I don't know that this is going to be the one to lead you to the promised land. So we shall see.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the biggest star is Aaron Rodgers. I think it's kind of a mischaracterization to say that 45 minutes was dedicated solely to him. I think, you know, yeah, they did talk about Sauce Gardner and him, his rookie year and what he went through in the offseason to get to this point. Nothing bad. It was all really good. But, yeah, they talked about Zach Wilson. The tough year he had last year, they talked to him. They talked to Garrett Wilson, you know, obviously the offensive rookie of the year. They talked about Nathaniel Hackett a little bit. So while, you know, Aaron Rodgers, it always comes back to him. It wasn't like you were talking about him the whole time and his journey and who he is, no, it wasn't that deep. I wouldn't even, I mean, you see him in practice throwing dimes and how, you know, talented of a quarterback he truly is, and how he was actually working with Zach Wilson to coach him up a little bit. So I suggest you watch it. It was actually pretty good. You know, outside of the language, which kind of bugs me because I would love my son to watch it. I had him watch it, and I was just like, you're just going to have to ignore the language. I don't know what to tell you. It kind of sparked him a little bit, and, you know, he had a really good day of practice today. So, I mean, watching it makes me want to go out there and put the pads on, even though I know as soon as I get out there, I'll fall apart. You know what I mean? So, I just love that aspect about it. And I know, TP, you feel the same way last year watching, you know, your team. It just gives a little bit more juice. So, So from that perspective, I thought it was – and listen, NFL and Hard Knocks and HBO do a really good job. I've never seen a bad presentation, and it's always amazing how they throw it together, with a couple of days left to get that episode to air on a Tuesday. So, you know, kudos to those guys. But, we can move on from Hard Knocks, unless, TP, you had anything to add, or you're good.
No, I mean, pretty much we'll see, and I'll probably catch the replay sometime this week if it had that much flair to it that the villain is giving you people. So I'm going to follow this energy and see what it's all about.
Awesome. I definitely recommend it. So, listen, we talked about it last week with the Pac-10 and college football, the teams were starting to get poached, and I think it was after our show became official that Oregon and Washington are leaving the Pac-10 for the Pac-12 for the Big Ten, and then Arizona State, a couple other teams. I'm trying to find the names. Forgive me, I apologize, but they're going to the Big 12. So. Basically, now there's only four teams left, Washington State, Stanford, Cal, and Oregon State. And as recently as I think today, Stanford and Cal were going to have the SEC or the Big Ten were going to reach out to – no, the ACC were reaching out to them, to the athletic directors to just kind of have preliminary talks. So the Pac-12 after this season is probably no more. And now it's going to be instead of the Power Five, it's going to be the Power Four. Big conferences, and I don't know if the ACC will survive anything left. You know, the Pac-12 is in a bad spot because their TV deal. They're trying to get one. I think the Apple. Contract that they put forth to the schools, this wasn't enough because I think that a day later, five or six said, I'm out. And it's easier to do it because they don't have to pay that exit fee that some other schools have to pay to leave their conferences because of the massive TV deal. So, the Pac-12 is pretty much dead as we know it. The Rose Bowl, not going to be in existence. The rivalries, Oregon State or Washington State, pretty much, or after this season, not going to be in existence. TP, what do you think about the Pac-12? I know we talked about it last week, but I mean, I don't even think they have an option of trying to poach any Mountain West schools. I think they're done. Stanford and Cal, we were wondering if they were going to get asked by any conference. It looks like the ACC might reach out. What do you think is about this whole where everything that's transpired in the last couple of days?
I'm an 80s baby. I grew up off of a song and it kind of went like this, kind of, not all the way, but it went, mend these broken wings because all these teams are flying away and it is bad. And if you've been a fan of Sports City, if you've listened to the Chefs Do Work, if you've heard me talk about college football, I have been screaming that Pac-12 is suffering for years. I have not been talking about this for the past year, last year, or the past 2 years. I've been talking about this for a while. I think more or less after like 7 o'clock, once a lot of the football games are done, once the night games start to kick in, if you see a UCLA game, nobody's really watching it. The only person that is, you know, getting their attention is like Oregon State. Maybe Washington is running the board, but other than that, the Pac-12 has lost its luster, and for these teams to be pulling away left and right to leave that conference by itself, this is the death of this conference, potentially starting to see the chink in college football altogether. This is scary that this is happening. They are really going to make a lot of these teams have to fly across the country, where a lot of teams don't survive flying from the West Coast to the East Coast. You're already putting them in a lose-lose situation. Yes, they can win the games. I'm not saying that they can't, but the percentages weigh against a team coming from the West to the East or vice versa, making that long of a travel, and that's not something that they're doing on a day-by-day basis. There's more money that's going to be spent, and you're already throwing this money around in NIL deals and things of that nature. The Pac-12 is officially gone, you know, once this all subsidizes. And all the teams that are trying to, like, stick around, where do they go? You leave some of these teams there just like, where do we go? And just like Barry said, you know, the rivalries will be gone. Yeah, I understand that. But, like, does the Rose Bowl disappear? Do they stop playing games at the Coliseum altogether? Like, is that all on the back burner now? Like, I hope they revisit that, because that's still a cash cow for them. Whenever they need to do it, people still show up. College football still generates money somehow, some way. But just knowing that they destroyed the Pac-12 altogether, honestly, I'm sad. Honestly, I'm sad. And I'm nowhere near a big Pac-12 football guy, but just knowing that they are there all of the years that they did put things together, and knowing the history behind, like, the USC Brother Trojans. I remember, and I wasn't even around, but when they were screaming the Brother Trojans, that's the 70s. That's OJ and them. And, like, that's all in the wind now. Like, nothing. Like, USC really has to be big for this year with Caleb Williams, and then that's it. They what happens to all of this in the Pac-12? I just don't get how they just it looked like Thanos came there, snapped his fingers, and this is what y'all got left. Like, half of that league is there. It's very sad. And looking how a lot of these teams are, or not even these teams, a lot of these conferences are going to have to, like, how do I say it, like, remake themselves. Like, the SEC is going to bolster, get a little bigger. The Big 12 is going to get bigger. The ACC don't know what they're going to do, because there's a handful of teams trying to leave the ACC, but they're trying to pull teams from the West Coast to the ACC. How does a West Coast team go to the Atlantic Coast Conference? Like, ridiculous. Like, they just help me understand what's going on. I do not get it. But this could potentially wreck college football with what is going on. And I had a thought in my head. I really don't want to start bowling that ball downhill, but football altogether will start to take a hit within, like, the next 5 to 7 years. It will. It will. You got all of these situations, rules and regulations, and they're lightening people up on taking hits, and you can't hit people this certain way. Like, football is going to start to lose revenue, everything. I mean, as hype as we are getting about certain situations, this is a snowball that could roll downhill and turn into Frosty the Snowman. It's going to get bad before it gets any better.
I mean, I feel like the revenue is going to be fine, man. This TV money is insane. Like, I don't know, bro. It's like, because look at these deals that they're getting, especially with streaming. Like, that's where the money's at. That's why you're seeing this realignment. You know, UConn is not going to be an independent much longer. I think Notre Dame is going to be a domino that's going to fall because of the money that they can get. Notre Dame has the money from NBC, but they're up for renegotiation, right? And, you know, you're seeing some of these schools like Florida State and start to look at private equity money. You know, Stanford might have to. Stanford doesn't have to dip into that, you know, that money that they have in their system, in their school, to get out of deals or anything like that to try to get into a conference. But the money, man, it's crazy. I just, you know, I feel like college football is headed to a model with two conferences, and, you know, we're slowly getting there. And I agree with you. The travel is going to be insane. Like, you're thinking about, like an Oregon team or, you know, USC team that has to go on the East Coast to play Rutgers. Rutgers, like, wow, who cares? And then they have to stay out there probably to play Penn State and Maryland, you know what I mean, for 3 weeks, you know? What about school?
you're saying this in hope and faith. Like you just said that there may not be Rose Bowl situations. That's a big venue. Like that's something. Like I get it. Like college football is generating money. I said that, but you got to think that this is going to be gone in like a year or two. Like they're going to have to figure things out, and hopefully that this, a lot of kids are going to be trying to make the jump as soon as possible to get out of college. They're not going to be in college long with everything that's going on in the world today. Like, times are changing. Mm. This could affect them across the board. What about a kid that's from Compton, like, and don't get out of the state because of, you know, grades or this, that, and the third, and he's not getting a look because he's not getting to play against a good team, and they talking about trying to bring, like, a Boise State into the fold and things of that nature. They are scrambling to try to fix the situation. This is bad. Like it ain't all about money. Money ain't everything. I was taught that as a youngin. Like, money ain't everything. Mm-hmm. Like, they got to think about everything. They could lose fans, all type of stuff. People could lose. I know people that walk away from watching football or watching baseball or basketball just because of the way things are currently being run and saying that they didn't like it anymore. Like, this is what they're jeopardizing at this point in time. In 2023? On this is what y'all thought of? Like, I don't get it. I'm standing 10 toes down on it. I think that this could be a situation where they could suffer soon. In 5 to 7 years, I mean, it is a while, but that's soon enough. That is soon enough.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're right. And the Pac-12, I mean, they signed their death warrant. I think they did a while ago when they came out and didn't want to get into that college football playoff system. That Rose Bowl thought they were holier than thou, didn't want to be a part of the BCS and the championship series and all that stuff. And they were the only big bowl that didn't join the fray, right? You had the Fiesta Bowl, you had the Kai Bowl, all those bowls that got into it, but them. And they were like, no, we want our tradition. And tradition is going to the wayside. Like, these traditional rivals are gone now. They're going to be gone in years. Like, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? So the Rose Bowl, it's unfortunate, but you know what? They did it to themselves. You know what I mean? So it is a killer. I mean, we got Sirius on the line. I'm going to bring him in. I definitely want to get his opinion on it since he's a big Ten guy. Sirius, in the building, what do you think about what's going on in college football right now?
You know, if you've been paying attention, it should not come as a shock. You know, the writing has literally been on the wall about this situation for a long period of time, and the Pac-12 essentially has been on life support for a while. For starters, again, no disrespect to anybody who enjoys those schools, but let's keep it a buck. The real football is not being played in the Pac-12. You know what I'm saying? You go to those type of schools, you know, for a potential basketball look or something like that. But when it comes to football, it's SEC, Big East, you know, Big Ten. You know, nobody's messing with the Pac-12. And second of all, TP alluded to it as he was talking. The time of watching these games is insane. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't nobody got time to step until 10 o'clock at night to see a kickoff of UCLA and Washington. They got time for that. So the TV revenue and the TV viewing is potentially down. And thirdly, and most importantly, these schools, when they go to the big bowls, tend to not fare well. You know what I'm saying? You're playing against SEC teams. You're playing against a Big Ten team. You're playing against a Big 12 team. And these guys are not only losing, they're getting smacked. They're getting mollywopped up and down the field 9 times out of 10. So you don't, you know, have the marquee names for football, you know what I'm saying? You don't have the marquee time slot for people on the East Coast or, you know, in a time zone to watch it. So you're only catering potentially. And most importantly, you're not really putting a winning product on the field when you go against these big-name schools. Maybe the last time a Pac-12 team has done well versus Alabama, maybe the last time a Pac-12 team has done against Ohio State or Michigan or Penn State, maybe the last time a Pac-12 team consistently has done well versus the likes of any other conference. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The reason why, you know, the change gears for the reason why the Sacramento Kings are and the Golden State Warriors are getting buzz and, you know, are getting watches because they're putting out good products on the floor. You know what I'm saying? I don't mind staying up until 10 o'clock at 10:30 at night to watch Golden State tip off because when I sit down on my couch to watch them tip off and play, they give me good sports. They give me good drama. They do their thing. They win their ball game. They're entertaining to watch. The Pac-12 isn't even marketable. They're not even marketing to people on this side of the time zone. Your whole market is catered and centered around people in your demographic. So if you don't care enough to market your talent to everybody across the board, don't get mad when you got schools wanting to jump ship to get into the time slots to market their program and to market their product and potentially play better competition to get more money to then, you know, get to these bigger bowls and to get their name out there. The Pac-12 did it to themselves. And, again, TP mentioned this several years ago. I double-clicked on that several years ago. And in many different sources that we're all affiliated with, we've all said the very same thing. The Pac-12 is a dead football conference. If you want to go to the Pac-12, you're playing baseball. You're playing basketball. You're on the swim team. You're doing something other than playing college football, period.
And that's where they are because Stanford is – They're at football, right? But they are really good at every other sport, right? They have really good basketball. Huh?
Not fully, though, because Oregon does put out good product, especially with the Nike there that they got. And Washington,
absolutely,
too, but it's tough. You can't hang your hat on those two teams. Like Oregon State, you can't tell me the last time you remember the Beavers going crazy or – you can't tell me since Luck left you was hype about Stanford or, like, when did UCLA put a good product out with Rosen and Rosen came to the league and bombed? Like, USC's probably the only team that held it together for Pac-12 because of the aura of them. But, like, I don't want to totally poo-poo every team there because Oregon definitely could give you a 70-point game, but it is within that conference. And Washington does end up running the table somehow, some way. They'll win their first 6 or 8. And then lose a big game somewhere down there. So I respect some of the schools there. It's not like a handful. It's like some, like 2 or 3. But not all of them. But there are still some marquee matches that they can have. But like it was said, like between me and Sirius, it's like if they're not playing that game at 3:30 Eastern Standard or 7 Eastern Standard, if it's falling into 10 o'clock, a lot of people are just watching that because there's nothing else on TV. Like that's what they're getting.
Yeah, you get that demographic. You get out there, and that's really it. I mean, like I said, like, you know, Stanford is a really good program outside of football, but football is what makes the money in college sports. You know what I mean? Like, nobody's paying to see, like, college, you know, softball. You know what I mean? I'm not going to get an Apple TV deal and to get a Pac-12 package to watch Stanford softball, even though they're really good. Or their baseball team that's really good, or their, you know, Olympic sports that they consistently feed Olympic champions for. Nobody's paying to see that. They're paying to see college football. And to your point, you got maybe 2, maybe 3 schools that you can hang your hat on. USC is a name. They're a brand. They haven't – when was the last time they competed for a national championship before this year, and they barely were competing this year. Oregon is it. You know what I mean? Oregon was the only team that you would pay good money to see, and that's it. You know what I mean? That's the name of the business. I mean, Mr. Harvey, I know you're back. I'm going to bring you in on this subject, get your opinion on what's going on in college football, especially in the Pac-12.
So real quick, in the Pac-12, this year is going to be the 10th year of the 4-team playoffs. In year one, Oregon came in and beat a defending national champion Florida State team in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
They lost Ohio
State
in the final. They lost Ohio State in the final. The Pac-12 has not won another playoff game.
There you go.
It's the first year. Washington's been there a couple times. They got or at least once. They got hammered by Alabama. I think they got shut out. But here's the thing. Gentlemen, when I think Stanford and I think Cal, let me tell you what the first thing that does not come to my mind is Atlantic Coast. Okay,
right.
So let's start there. Barry, I disagree with one thing that you said a little bit earlier about the money's going to be there. I think that that's respectfully, I think that's a short-sighted view. And I think that a lot of people are banking on the money always being there. But here's the thing. I'm not sure, and here's why. These, and I said this before, but these TV providers are still a lot of the driving force. People are starting to switch more and more to streaming. But now once you get to streaming right now, until they figure out a way to tax it or whatever else goes on, you're not getting the same kind of third-party fees that you're getting that these TV carriers are charging people and passing on up the ladder. And I promise you this, these TV deals, as they've gone up, what's happened is for anybody out there that's still living in the Flintstone ages and has cable or satellite TV, you look on that, you got two lines on your bill that say local broadcast surcharge, and you got one that says regional sports network surcharge. That regional sports network surcharge is easily three times more than what it was less than 5 years ago. You can't keep sustaining that. And I don't know, there's still a lot to be figured out on the streaming end of it, how you filter all this back in and if it's going to work. Quite honestly, I don't know that we have a true gauge of how that's going to work because people are still switching over to platforms, and I don't know that we have a true gauge of how much money is actually going to come in from these deals, from streaming, to be quite honest with you. And then when that does happen and we start figuring out how we're going to come in, then inevitably the process of starting to bend the customer over and take a little bit extra is going to start, and then at some point people are going to say, we've seen this movie before, and people are going to walk away from it. I know that we love sports, fellas, but this has got all kinds of concerns to me, and I said this for a few reasons, but TP, you said earlier, 80s baby. I was born in the late 70s, but I pretty much grew up an 80s baby too. I remember the rivalries, and you're already starting to see it even with some of these bigger realignments. Next year, when the SEC first goes to 16, Mississippi State's not playing LSU. Those two schools have played each other more than either one of them played anybody else in the history of their schools. That's not happening anymore. These are neighboring states. And so for casual fans and for people that go for school spirit and all this kind of stuff, some of those regional rivalries and some of that kind of stuff not being there because the conferences have cast their net too wide, that's going to hurt things. And, you know, people have talked about at some point it was going to be four super conferences, 16 teams plus. Well, Big Ten, 16 ain't enough. The Big Ten was a Big Ten by name with 11 teams for a long time. They finally went to 14. That wasn't enough. Then they get to 16. Now they're picking up two more. I mean, where does the buck stop? How many teams are you trying to get in a conference? What's the ultimate goal? And then at some point, do you just split this into two completely different conferences within one conference and have a, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know how this whole thing shakes out, but what I can tell you is this. At some point, fellas, the house of cards is going to come crashing down. At some point, this is what's happened, though, when you have really allowed this much greed to creep into it. And what I'm not sure about is football going to end up being a completely separate entity from the rest of college athletics? Or are football and basketball, the main two, going to at some point be the only major sports that are funded by athletic departments? And are you going to start seeing other programs be reduced to a different level and have to compete in a different way, kind of like what clubs have had to do when they lost Division I sports? I'm telling you, there's going to be like TP said, maybe 5 to 7 years down the road, but there's going to be some major changes. We cannot sustain this model. And it's not something that's going to last long term. This whole thing is fueled by money. The only reason Florida State's trying to get out of the conference, they saw Texas do the same thing in the Big 12. They're complaining because how can we compete? Or, you know, basically we bring in all the revenue, so we want a bigger share than other teams in this conference. Yet, like, okay, you hadn't been to this dance in a few years. And so I don't know if the answer is maybe you can reward some teams a little bit more than other teams in the conference, but I almost feel like it has to be a result-based or something. You can't just say because you're threatening to leave, now you can have more. What's to stop another team from doing the same thing? It's just going to create a vicious cycle, man. There's a lot of concerning things about this model that that bother me. I'm putting together an article on it. I'm trying to figure out what some of these possible conclusions can look like. But listen, I'm really concerned with the state of college athletics and these bigger conferences. It's going to make for some weird things going on in football. But what concerns me is what's going to happen in all these other smaller sports too. It's not as easy. It's one thing if you just got to go for a one weekend game for football, right? But basketball, you play two games a week, sometimes three. And so now it starts to get really tricky when you got this far to travel. And you don't necessarily have as much money for some of these sports. Like some of the smaller sports, when they would compete pretty close to home, you'd still get the softball teams and the wrestling teams and whatnot on buses. You ain't going on no bus from L.A. to Piscataway, though. So there's just a lot of things that I think still have to continue to be ironed out. And, you know, maybe there's some people in there that are a lot smarter than me and think that there's a way that this is going to work. But there's a lot of concerns here. And it almost makes me think we wish we could go to some sort of model where football is just seen differently and you keep these same conferences for the other sports for the betterment of the athlete because
that doesn't work. It doesn't matter. Football makes the money. Stanford would be ready to get rid of all their other sports if they were not going to get into a conference after the Pac-12 dissolves. It ain't because of baseball. It ain't because of wrestling. It's money. Football makes the money. I love college basketball. It's probably my favorite college sport after football just because I'm an East Coast guy. I grew up on the Big East Conference. Basketball doesn't make nearly as much money as football. You got a school like Rutgers that brings in $60 million off a TV deal. Don't tell me that there's not enough money. There is plenty of money in college football to appease all these schools. $60 million is an exit fee for a school to leave the ACC. It's because of the TV revenue. I'm telling you,
that TV
football
revenue
is what drives the sport.
You can't count on it always being there.
Yes, you can. This is why these teams are realigning, because of money. It's not because of the love of the game or the rivalries. The rivalries are going to be the byproduct. That's what we're going to lose because of all the money that these teams are getting. That's why they're going to a bigger playoff system, because of money. It's money. And you know what? It's a selfish, it's a gutless way to think about it, just because money is the root of all evil and all that stuff. But that's what's driving all this. We have never seen this much realignment in a year or two span that we've seen in years past because of money.
That's my point, Barry. It's a big – first of all, we can agree to disagree that the money is always going to be there because I don't know about how the TV markets are going to fall. But this is what happens when you let hypocrites run the sport. When you let hypocrites run sports. It's all based on money. All we're trying to do is line pockets. But then at the same time, these same people are turning around and talking about how – oh, student first, athlete second, and all this kind of stuff. And now we don't want these guys to transfer. And now we need to put some regulations on it. So now we need to do what's in the best interest of the athlete. And so when you're propping up everything based on money and hypocrites, bro, I'm telling you, at some point this model is going to come crashing down. We can agree to disagree on it, fine. But at some point, it's going to come crashing down because where do you think this TV money comes from? It comes from subscribers to these TV services.
Yeah.
And I understand
people
are going to stream. And I understand that people are going to stream. But what I'm telling you is, at the end of the day, if people are streaming responsibly and whatever else, then you're going to end up paying a lot less money for those streaming options than what you're paying for, like, cable TV and satellite TV. And as if you're paying less money as a customer, then there's not as much money that eventually filters back up the chain. And there's not going to be as much money going into ads. At some point, Barry, some of this stuff is going to change because people, we just can't predict it. Maybe it doesn't, but we can't 100% predict it. Sports is the last appointment television that we have out there. Sports is the only reason why some of these cable providers are around, but we are changing generation. This generation is starting to completely change how we consume entertainment and video and TV. And we just don't know what the bottom line is going to be financially at the end of the day.
But you're still paying what I still pay over $100 for my streaming devices. And guess what? If I wanted every single sports, regional sports, I wanted NFL Network, MLB, all that stuff, I would have to pick up another subscriber on top of what I have. That's the game. You have to get two different services. I have DirecTV now. I would have to pick up like Sling or something or Football TV to get all that money. They're still going to get their money. Regional sports is in a negotiating pattern right now. You know, some people drop, some streaming services drop it. Some people get it. They renegotiate, get their money. They're going to get their money. Somebody just, I can't remember which streaming device or streaming app it was, went from 70 million to about 50 million subscribers. They're still making hand over fist. I mean, and the hypocrites have always been there in college sports. They've always been there. They were just slick on how they were getting their money. Now they got to figure out a different way because these kids are able to transfer and get their money. Kids are getting paid to transfer. I mean, that's the business. They hold their hand out and give a little bit of that money back. That's the business, man. CP, serious. I don't know if any guy want to chime in before we move on to another one, but that's the game, man. That's the world we live in right now. Just how are they going to get all their money? Because they're going to get their money.
I mean, we kind of seen this model before, you know, seen this model with the NFL. I mean, let's not forget the NFL tried this whole Amazon Prime thing for subscriptions and things of that nature last year, and we saw how this worked. So, I mean, I think both things, both statements can be true. I think that, you know, it's crooked and it's cruel, but also at the end of the day, I do think, because, again, football is the ultimate drug. You know what I'm saying? And I hate to call it that, but football is the ultimate drug. Nothing beats football in America. So whether it's streaming services, whether, you know, you play it on the moon, whether, you know, this team realigns with this team and this conference realigns with this conference, the only people in trouble right now are the kids, are the students. You know what I'm saying? Because, again, you got a UCLA guy, you know, athlete traveling all the way over here to the East Coast to play, you know, Penn State, and then are they in the books? Well, how does that work? And, you know, they're away from their family and their comfort zone, and this, that, and the third. So I'm not a big fan of the schools having to travel so far this way, and they're painting this picture as if it's, you know, as if they're protecting the kids, as if they're protecting the students. And essentially, they're just trying to line their pockets with, you know, more revenue and more exposure, which is, again, to what I spoke about earlier. However, I do think that because it is football and it is college football and it is UCLA, it is USC, it is Oregon, to TP's point, you know, those particular schools are going to have money available to them. It's just a matter of how much based off of the level of competition that they're playing in subsequently and the conference that they're in. Notre Dame is not even in the conference, but they get money hand over fist. They have their own network. Like NBC in my area shows their games all the time. It doesn't matter where they play. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
anytime
deal.
Notre Dame is playing,
that's
it's on
deal.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's on NBC. So at the end of the day, if you are in a position to make money, if you put a decent product out there, and again, it's football, there's money to be made. But again, I think both statements can be true in this particular situation.
Yeah, that's why Notre Dame can continue to be in non-conference because of that TV deal that they've been getting for years. And now it's kind of murky, right? Because now that deal is predicated on them not having a night game or something like that. So, but still, NBC has that deal. But now NBC is, you know, they got to share the pot. I think they're in it with ES Fox. I think Fox has, I don't know which conference
they
have.
I think
it's
ABC and ABC.
You know, yeah, but ABC and ESPN, now they've taken the SEC away from CBS, right? They paid a lot of money for the SEC. So
yeah,
I think the CBS
Big Ten is getting that CBS deal.
Yeah, Big Ten is going to CBS. Fox is taking the Big 12. So, I mean, and then NBC kind of gets a little bit of everything. I think I forget how the deal works, but it's like, that's why you're going to keep going. These networks are going to pay for it. You know what I mean? TP, I don't know if you had anything to chime in before we move on.
No, it's pretty much covered. I mean, like I said, I think within like 5 to 7 years, you're going to see more of this start to fall off the wagon, and college football is going to start to get a severe hit. I hope it don't start happening to the NFL, but all of this is starting to show its face with everything, all the changes that they're trying to make now. I don't know how this makes these things better, but this is what they get what they asked for. It wasn't broken, but now they're trying to fix it, and they're going to have to do some more fixing, especially while they're telling them to, you know, slow down on hits and don't hit people. You know, like, they're going to start losing a lot more than they want to at this point in time. This is crazy. This is the first domino to fall.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, it's going to – like, I wouldn't – for a subscription to see UCLA versus Rutgers. I hate using Rutgers, but I mean they're the darling of that conference, right? Like, I'm not paying to see that, but I would pay to see Ohio State USC on an annual basis, right? Not hoping that I would see it in the Rose Bowl. And the Rose Bowl has deteriorated because the best, you know, Big Ten school, or maybe two of the best Big Ten school, are usually in the conference old championship, right? So, yeah, it's just been bad, and you know, I don't know. It's terrible. And go ahead. Sorry.
Real quick, I just wanted to point out, I think what's going to happen initially is the Rose Bowl is going to be one of the on years it may be a semifinal site too, but at worst it's going to be a quarterfinal site for one of the four quarterfinals. And so it won't be Pac-10, Big Ten anymore, but the Rose Bowl will be one of the constant playoff sites, I think, moving forward.
Which
and
is,
that's what the Rose Bowl has changed to.
Which is the point of the discussion. It's bad because literally the Rose Bowl was always something
right
for the, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you're going to see roses, you know what I'm saying? So not only do you lose a conference, but you lose a marquee destination for your conference. Like, we all know that the Big Ten plays in Indianapolis every year. That's the Big Ten championship. That's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got to – something has to be done, bro, because, again, I don't watch the Pac-12 anyway, but you can't take away the Rose Bowl. No, that's tough, man. That's tough.
Well, for years,
I know,
if you won
but
the Big
I mean,
Ten,
that's where we're heading.
Yeah, for years, if you won the Big Ten, well, and now once the playoff thing started, if you were you got to go to the playoffs. But for years and years and years before that started, if you won the Big Ten, you got to go out to California, which is nice. Being in those cold weather states, you get to go out west to the warm weather state for a week. It's nice to get out. And so now, even if you're not a playoff team, the best team in the Big Ten still gets to go out there. So it's kind of a really nice reward for a good season. Get to leave in the middle of the north, winter in the north, and go out to Southern California for a week. Like, it's a celebratory thing, and that's not going to be a deal anymore in the Big Ten. You just had to hope you get to go to a warm weather destination.
Yeah, see, like, I've always liked the Rose Bowl because of that element. But see, I'm an East Coast guy that never really had a college rooting team until I latched on to Florida State when I was like 10, 11 years old. So I don't have that deep tradition that, you know, like you have, Sirius, with the Rose Bowl and the Big Ten. So in my mind, it was like they did it to themselves because they wanted to keep that tradition, and they didn't have that that vision, you know, like Ghost and Ray said, you know, I seen it, you know, like a zenith, you know, like I had that vision. Like, this is where college football was going. It was getting, as much as I hate to say, see the rivalries go away, they were going away. And you wanted to keep your rivalry to yourself because you thought you were bigger. And you didn't see that the Pac-12 was garbage. It was headed to crap. And you banked on it. And now you're gonna it's gonna deteriorate. It's almost gone. Like, I feel bad as a purist, but as like, oh well. You know what I mean? This is what you got. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? So it sucks, but I mean, listen, this is where it's headed. It's gonna be two conferences at the end of the day. The ACC will be next. It's gonna be the big three. The ACC is gonna be next. If Florida State, you like North Carolina, Miami, and Clemson can figure out a way to get out of that deal without having to pay, I think it's $60 million, and I think a plus some. If they can figure out how not to pay it to get some equity and front the deal, because the conferences are gonna pay that $60 million to get them. The SEC is not paying $60 million to get Florida State and Clemson. They would love to have them, but they're not paying that money. But if they can figure out how to get out of that exit fee, because that TV deal isn't over until like 2034, I think it is, ACC will be dead too. And, you know, for me, when Syracuse left the Big East for the ACC, that's when I was like, all right, you know, nothing ain't sacred no more. Because that was, for me, from a basketball perspective, that was our rivalry. TP can tell you, Syracuse, Georgetown was it. That was the rivalry. And we lost that because of football. Football took Syracuse out of the Big East and put them in the ACC. That's when I lost it. That's when I was you know what, tradition be damned.
I still think the ACC is going to be okay, though. I think the ACC is going to be okay because of what I mentioned earlier. They do a great job of marketing to all the different demographics and all the different locations. Like, and
they have a network.
They have.
I disagree. North Carolina, Miami, Florida State, and Clemson are talking about leaving. You think they will survive? Those are the names of the ACC. I disagree strongly. Strongly.
Duke doesn't have football.
I think that's right.
But Duke doesn't have football.
Anyway.
It's basketball. And basketball doesn't make the money that football makes serious. You know what I mean?
They got it.
I think that's what I mean. Football in the greens there. I just honestly think that, if Clemson leaves and Miami leaves, although Miami hasn't been decent for years, you know. If Florida
Miami's
State,
a
again,
brand.
Florida hasn't been decent for a few years.
Miami and Florida State are brands. Yeah.
That's my point. I mean, but they haven't really put anything decent on the football field. So, essentially, Clemson is holding that whole conference together. Essentially.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. But Florida State is a brand. Miami, they haven't been as up as they have been, but they're a brand. I guarantee you if the SEC had a chance to bring Miami 8 in, they would take them. Because they're a brand.
And he's trying to say that. And Miami, Florida State, and other schools still litter the NFL with players.
Yeah.
One here, one there. Like, I don't know what – you could try to hang your hat on that, but, like, you're going to lose that one, Buster. Look, the fact of the matter is if those schools – if North Carolina, probably one of the bigger – money cash cows in the ACC league, along with Clemson. Since you said Clemson is the shoestring to the situation that's been in national championships, and then Miami and Florida State, you think they're going to survive with Georgia Tech, Duke, Virginia Tech? Are you high?
Mm-hmm. I mean, because what are you talking about? Women's basketball is going to save them?
Stop it.
I don't think ACC is breaking up. I don't think that at all. I think Clemson is staying there. I think they're all staying.
The
only thing that can keep the ACC together is their TV deal. That's it. That's really it, serious. Like, think about it. Like, their deal goes through 2034. It's a fortune to get out of that deal to get to, you have to pay an exit fee to get out. That you have to pay almost $100 million per school to get out. That's the only reason Florida State wants is staying, because they want out. Clemson wants out. I know it for a fact. They want out because look, the only reason you watch ACC football is because of them. It's because of Clemson. They're the only ones that could contend with the SEC schools. Florida State just got back to their swagger this year. And, you know, they might have a really good year, but this is it. They're the only one that's won a national championship outside of Clemson in the last 10, 15 years. North Carolina is a brand for basketball. They're a brand. Duke is a brand for basketball, but basketball don't make money. Not like football does.
Coach K gone, you can stop this now.
Exactly. No. Not even, like, who cares? You know what I mean? Like, you're so right, TP. Without Coach K, Duke is Duke, but not the same Duke.
Crap.
Like, they can do whatever they want now. They can do whatever they want now. Like, you know what I mean? Like Boeheim, they didn't give a damn about Boeheim. Staying in the Big East. Boeheim didn't want to leave the Big East. They had to leave for football, and Boeheim had to take it. I like the ACC, but they are next. I'm telling you, they're next. They just can't. The Big Ten and the ACC, the Big Ten and the SEC are the two darlings. Those are the two conferences that everybody wants to get to. Those two conferences. And serious, you know I'm not lying. Right? Like, those are the two conferences everybody wants to play.
I'm a Big Ten guy.
Everybody up north wants to go to the Big Ten. Everybody down south wants to be in the SEC. That's it. You know what I mean? Like, the Big 12 is hanging on by a thread. And they lost Texas and Oklahoma. They lost it. You know what I mean? They had to replace them with, what, Cincinnati? UCF. Like, who's going to pay to see UCF in the Big 12?
Come on now, man.
Like, I'm not paying to see the UCF play, Cal? Come on, man. No, it's not even Arizona versus UCF. You don't pay to see that game?
I ain't watching that.
Exactly. Oh, man. Call the number, as always, 929-477-2759. I could talk about this all day because it's crazy. I've never seen this like this. I've seen teams leave, but I'm telling you, when Oklahoma and Texas, when they sign that paper to leave, you know, family ain't family no more, right? Oh, my God. So, yeah, listen, I want to switch gears to the NFL, and then we can, you know, hit it and quit it. But one thing that bothered me this week, boys, was the whole Eric Bieniemy situation going on in Washington. And serious, I know you're pretty close to it, so I definitely want to get your opinion on what's been going on out there. Ron Rivera, you know, came out, I guess, a day or two ago and said that some of the players were complaining that, you know, Bieniemy's coaching style, where, you know, some of the players were concerned with his coaching style. He was hard on them and all that kind of stuff. And then he kind of walked it back a little bit today, saying, you know, that he put his foot in his mouth and didn't mean to say what he said. Like, yeah, typical. But, you know, it's a crazy situation out there, just because, you know, players are kind of complaining that Eric Bieniemy, a guy that's won in this league, is coaching them too hard. It is a little too hard on them. You know, TP, I want to get your opinion first. What do you think about this situation with Eric Bieniemy? I mean, this is a guy that has won two championships as the OC, hasn't gotten the head coaching position that he, you know, probably deserves for whatever reason. Maybe it's his coaching style, who knows? But, I mean, you can't take criticism in this league from a coach, and you need to be babied and coddled. I don't understand what's going on. It kind of bothers me. I just want to get your opinion, TP, on the Eric Bieniemy situation.
In the words of a song that came out in 1997, written and composed by Christopher Wallace, the name of the song is "What's Beef?" and the first couple of words of that first verse goes, ha, 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 ha. This is very funny, okay? This is very funny. You mean to tell me that this guy has a resume? People need to be gawking at trying to make him a head coach, and because you're getting constructive criticism, you guys don't want to take it. I think everybody that has been here that played football or played a sport had to go through Hell Week. You guys are in the dog days of August and crying about somebody pushing you to your limit. You guys are getting millions of dollars playing your dream job. This is your dream job. Listen, fire him. Get rid of the enemy. Y'all think y'all going to be better with Rivera? Rivera going to be done in 3 years tops. 3 years tops. This dude is fighting and doing everything he can. Thank goodness that he, you know, he's doing well in his fight. You know what I'm saying? What this is trying to, they're trying to set this up for Bienemy to end up trying to run the show out there so they can finally give him his just due at this point in time. And you guys don't want to hear what this guy, he's been alongside Andy Reid for how long? Forget just the championships that he's gotten. He's been with Andy Reid, offensive juggernaut mastermind. Like, what do y'all want? What do y'all think Sam Howell's going to do it all by himself? Like, I've been watching this team since I was a kid and could acknowledge football. This is my father's favorite football team. On a weekly basis, I still pay attention to them, even though I do not like this team at all, just because of my father and the crap that my father talked. You can ask Barry what type of junk my pops talk on a daily basis. So it's like watching them now and watching them just be Eddie Griffin, the dysfunctional family. I don't know if you ever saw that stand-up, but it was hilarious. Ha, 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 this is what they get. I don't know what Washington's going to do. The way that they're acting right now, and I had hopes for them to try to, like, get into the fray of the NFC East, guess what? You guys are at the bottom of the division again. I don't think you'll be better than the Giants. The Giants look improved. The Cowboys are the talk of the division right now, and the Eagles are top of the division. Like, so what are you guys going to do? You guys want to keep having it easy until Magic and them come there and really take over the show? This is when y'all going to start playing harder and better? Like, when does that change happen? Like, this is your ethics. This is the what word am I looking for? Like, this is the makeup of how you guys have been over the past couple of years. Like, the best that you guys could do, y'all can win a division at, like, 10-6, maybe 9-7 before they had the 17-game push and then just be a first-round exit. You guys aren't pushing to get to the postseason. You're not pushing to be better. Where does this perseverance come from? When do you guys dig deep? Everybody has something to say about Eric Bieniemy, but this guy has proven in his resume and everything that he's done across the board. I get it. Like, when you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, you think more Mahomes and Kelsey, but you think he had no handprint on helping these two out. He's been an offensive coordinator with these guys. He got to know where the destiny to take this team. Like, I don't get it. They want to continue to suffer, then fire him. Get rid of him and think Riverboat Ron is going to carry you to another Super Bowl like he did with the Panthers. That was a hell of a run with Cam Newton, but I don't think he has another one of those up his sleeve. Definitely not this season either.
I mean, I can't disagree with that. I mean, you know, I have my opinion, and I'll definitely get to it in a minute, but, I see a lot of nonsense going on down there. I mean, Mike, Mr. Harvey, talk to me about the Eric Bieniemy situation, because, I mean, I've been watching it the last couple of days, and it's been irking me, because I don't want to say it's like an entitlement thing. It could be. I mean, I'm leaning more to just, you know, this culture as a whole. Like, you got to be handheld. You got to be, oh, no, don't do that. Don't, you know, like, I wasn't raised like that. You know what I mean? Like, that's not how my daddy raised me. You know what I'm saying? So, Mike, talk to me about this Eric Bieniemy situation, brother.
No, when I listened to it and I read the comments that other players had going to Ron Rivera, the first thing I thought was, I hope he went to the store and bought a bunch of pacifiers. You can even dip them in honey. Give them some pacifiers and some Bankies and a bottle if they need, you know, whatever to pacify these guys, man. Like, listen, if, you know, one of the philosophies that somebody told me when I was a kid is, like, if they ain't yelling at you, then that means that's even worse than them getting on to you, because if they ain't yelling at you, it means they're giving up on you.
Right.
And so, yeah, I had coaches get on me all the time. And yeah, at the end of the day, you just have to know that your coaches want the best for you and hope that outside of practice you have some interactions that continue to reinforce that. And you will with the good coaches. But at the same time, you know, most sports that I've been involved in, you got a good sized room or a field with pretty good sized group. A lot of times you need to raise your voice to be heard by everybody in the group anyway. So like all this old sensitive, like, let's be tone police. We're all going, no, you ain't got to be policing no tone. I want you to police your work. Get out there and do your job. Like, that's the biggest thing. The one thing that I read that he said, and I don't know if this was in the comments, comments where he was kind of walking it back a little bit, or if he said this, the first time around, because I saw kind of both of them at once. But the one comment that I read was he made a comment to a player, well, you don't want him yelling at you as much. It sounds like you need to really focus on learning what he's trying to teach you. And so to me, that's an appropriate response. I don't think that it was even if somebody does go to him as a head coach, okay, that's normal practice. What is not normal practice is for you to air that in front of media at all. And you walk it back later, fine. But, I mean, what's up, Riverboat Ron? Are you starting to slip a little bit? What's going on here? I just don't think that to put that in the media out there is right. I've always taught, like, with family even, like, you know, we disagree with each other on shows and on airspace and whatever else. But if time was an hour out and he's talking to somebody, even if I don't necessarily agree with something that he's saying, we family. I'm not trying to verbalize that in front of a lot of other people. Now, I may pull it to the side later and say, you know what, this person kind of had a point here. But I'm not trying to do that in public and in front of people. It's something about saving face. And I just don't think that this is a good look for Ron Rivera. This is not something that should have been said to media in the first place.
I mean, he should have never came out and said it. I agree with you, Mike. That's kind of stuff you should be smart enough to keep in house. Because Eric Bieniemy, like I said, for whatever reason, for the last 5+ years, hasn't been able to secure a head coaching job. I saw it on TV today when I was watching something. You know, he had there was an assistant GM that got the GM job in Chicago, and he could have interviewed Eric Bieniemy. He didn't get an interview. His buddy, a guy that was underneath him, got an interview and got the job. Like, there's something wrong with that. And to go out there and put this out there that he's too intense for his players doesn't help him get the job that he craves. He came to Washington to prove his worth so that he can get a head coaching job, and you go out there and you just – I think this has been a lot of stupid head coaching talk in this so far this year. We're talking about Ron Rivera. We're talking about Sean Payton. Like, there's a lot of stupid going on right now. So, I mean, but still, this is a privilege to be in this league, and you can't take criticism? Like, this is like the whole participation award culture that we're living in. Like, you can't say anything bad up to these kids. You can't get in their face. They're just used to being coddled. They're used to this AAU lifestyle. Like, no, this ain't how the world works. Life is hard. Hug me. Don't reject me. Like, you know what I mean? Like, come on, man. Like, if you can't take criticism at this level to get better, then what are you talking about? Eric Bieniemy has 2 Super Bowls. You ain't got nothing. You're mad because he's yelling at you? That's why you guys stink. That's why you're at the bottom of the division every year. I mean, maybe you need somebody to get serious. Talk to me, because I can go on for days. Like, you down there in the DMV, you down there, you got your finger on the pulse. Save me from myself, because the villain's about to go hard.
No, here's the funny thing about it is, so you're spot on. So those of you guys that don't know, I'm a part-time security guard. I work for CSC, so that I get access to a lot of different, you know, things and events. And one of the events that I get to go sit and watch on a regular basis is the Commanders training camp, because it's right up the street from my house. And so I was there, and I'm looking at Ron Rivera and his interaction with players. Let's not make no bones about it. We're all parents here.
there is no reason to yell, fuss, and cuss if your children are doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing and retaining the information that is being taught. None at all. You know what I'm saying? Barry, you got two kids. I have a child. You know, Mr. Harvey, you have a kid. You know what I'm saying? TP, you know, you got a kid adjacent. You know what I'm saying? Your uncle, the Barry's kid, and many more, I'm sure. There's no reason for you to raise your voice and yell and chastise your children if they do exactly what they are saying to do. For those of you guys that also don't know me very well, I'm a huge poker player. One of my favorite movies is a movie called Runner Runner with Ben Affleck and Justin Timberlake. And one of the characters says, if you want your own Allen and your boss told you to go out and take a beating, you come back and you do it again. You know what I'm saying? Here's the thing. The Washington Commanders are exactly where Eric Bieniemy has been time and time again. He has frequent flyer miles in the Super Bowl. He's been there so many damn times. So if Eric Bieniemy tells you to go outside and eat a pile of dog crap and that will make you better at your job, then bless God, I'm going to figure out how to get that shit down because I'm trying to get to where he's been. Period. You know what I'm saying? So for the Washington Commanders, you know, players and Ron Rivera, who, again, we've all said here on this very show, and if I talk to him, I talk to his face, he's mediocre. Mediocre. You know what I'm saying? The man doesn't have a subpar 500 record, and he gets all this praise and accolades that he's a, you know, great coach because he beat cancer. You know what I'm saying? Salute to him for doing that. But, bro, I'm talking about results on the football field, but I digress. I was wondering how long this honeymoon period was going to last because the Washington Commanders were sold and everybody's partying and having a good time. You know, you can't teach your old dog a new trick. There's going to be a matter of time before Ron Rivera or something crazy happens with this organization to jerk people back into reality. This is football now. We're talking about X's and O's. And for these players and the head effing football coach, the man that you sat down, interviewed, and hired to come out and say these things and then try to subsequently walk it back? No, I'm messing with that. You hired Eric Bieniemy to do a job. He has to work with a mediocre quarterback, a hell of a room full of skilled receivers and running backs to get them to where they need to be. Again, I'm going to tip my hand here. I don't think this is the worst team in the division. I think this is the worst coach team in the division. But I don't think this is the worst team in the division. And when we do our previews on NFL Front Office show in a couple of weeks, I'm explaining to you why. But this Commanders team has the potential to do something great in this division and in the conference. Again, the conference is not that hard to do something great in. Again, another topic for the day. But you can't start your season off like this. They kick off preseason in a couple of days. You can't go into the first season game like this. You know what I'm saying? Again, Mr. Harvey said it best. If me and my wife are fighting, we're not going to put it out there on social media. We're not going to put it out there for the world to see. We're going to deal with that shit behind closed doors and, you know, move on. If Ron Rivera felt that Bieniemy was coaching the players too hard, pull him into a meeting. There's tons of officers there at Redskin Park, at Commander's Park. Pull him into a meeting. Have a conversation with it. Don't air this. So the fact that this got aired is interesting. I also think, and again, I'll shut up with this, I also think that Ron Rivera is starting to hear and feel the rumbling that Bieniemy could potentially take his job. Because if Eric Bieniemy goes into Washington and gets that office turned around in 1 year, Ron Rivera is gone. And I think Ron Rivera is on a very short leash this year. So if the Commanders start out slow or the Commanders don't do well, Ron Rivera could be the first domino to fall in Washington.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't. I don't think Ron Rivera has done enough to garner, like, keeping that job, right? I think he's had a team. Listen, do I think the Giants deserve to be in the playoffs last year? Yeah, but the Redskins probably had more opportunities and a better chance and probably a better team to get to the playoffs than the Giants. The Giants took care of business and took care of their opportunities. The Commanders didn't. They lost critical games at critical points. So, and I mean, they have a talented defensive line, and they can't get it done. They just don't have a quarterback. And I mean, I don't know what you think about Sam Howell, serious, but I don't know if he's the answer either. But I mean,
he throws a nice deep ball, but he's not the answer at the quarterback position. And I honestly think that I was shocked that the Commanders didn't make a move. Call up San Fran and see if they can pry one of their three quarterbacks away from them. I think the Commanders are offensively a quarterback away from being spectacular. To me, Sam Howell is like a younger version of Taylor Heineke. He'll give you some spectacular plays with his, you know, with his legs. He'll throw the ball deep, but as far as understanding and reading defenses and X's and O's, I don't think he had it. He didn't have it in North Carolina. He sure as hell ain't going to have it in the NFL, where defenses are much better and much quicker and much faster. And he does play in the NFC East, where the Giants do play defense pretty well. The Eagles are the defending NFC representative. And then the Cowboys are just picking everything off at training camp right now with those two corners and the linebacker. So he's in for a world of issues just within his own division. But, again, I think they could be buyers, in the quarterback market this trade deadline, because I don't think Jacoby Brissett is the answer there either. So they either suck for Caleb Williams and try to go get Caleb Williams or something like that, or they make a move because they're in the thick of things in the middle of the season.
So I'm serious. I got a question. So the Giants are the worst team in that division?
I think the Giants are the worst team in that division, honestly.
I disagree. Obviously I'm a Giants fan.
Of course you do.
I think this is probably one of the better divisions. So, to be a third best team in that division isn't necessarily as bad. I think the AFC East on paper is probably the best.
He said the worst. I get the difference. He's saying that the Giants are a better coach because of Dable and them. Yeah, I give him the leg up on that. But he's saying, gun for gun, the Commanders got a better roster. I don't agree with that. But it's interesting. I gotta wait for that information to come out, because I think all they really got is Scary Terry, and depending on what Chase ends up doing, they trying to let Chase go. How? I don't know.
Let me ask you this question, TP. And again, we'll talk about it on an NFL show, later on down the road. But what did the Giants do, honestly, this offseason to get better on the offensive side of the ball?
Darren Waller?
You mean the guy that's been hurt his whole damn career? That guy?
Isn't he better than anything we had last year as a receiver?
Okay, so let me get this straight. You want to hitch your wagon to a guy who's been in the league for 4 years and has played a total of maybe 20 games in 4 years.
Is he better than anyone that we had on this roster last year?
I have no idea, to be completely honest, because I didn't pay that much attention to the Giants
roster. He's not better than Saquon. At the receiving position,
TP.
Okay, so Sterling Shepard is healthy too. So that's another one too. Like, there's pieces on that giant roster that if they stay upright, they are right. But everybody has their hitches with injuries. Like, I could look at Saquon right now. His star power is bigger than anybody on the Commanders roster, and that's a cool Scary Terry.
I will give you that one. But see, here's the
thing. And then looking at Daniel Jones is able to ink a $160 million deal. There's nobody on that roster in D.C. that's getting that type of money right now. Nobody.
Well, first and foremost, you can't sit there and not like paying Daniel Jones a smart move, because you and I both said that.
No. I agree with you. But okay. they had to do it for something. They had to do it for something. No. I'm with you, but. But I'm at least throwing them two. Then you put Darren Waller in the pot. Like, at least these three names are bigger than what Gary Terry and the Misfits look like. Those three right there alone look better than Scary Terry and the Misfits. Who else scare you on DC? That's almost like when you watch the Lion King and the hyena says, "Say it again, Mufasa," and they all got the chills. Like, ain't nobody getting no chills when you hear commanders. Like, nobody got the chills. None of them.
You have Terry McLaurin. You have Jahan Dotson,
yep,
who's coming in the
year. Who's really good.
Jahan Dotson is that dude.
Yep.
You have the dude, Curtis Samuel, who's healthy. You have Brian Robinson, who's coming off a year where he played half a year after being shot in his leg, who's a dog from Alabama. And have Antonio Gibson that's in his contract year. You have Logan Thomas, who, again, he and Darren Waller kind of offset each other because both of them guys say are not healthy. You have Sam Howell and Daniel Jones, who is seriously, in my opinion, a complete microcosm of each other. Both have defense. I'm not going to even mess with their defense. They're both the defensive line for both squads, all world. Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne, Chase Young, Montez Sweat, all world. You got a secondary who could come into the zone. The issue with both of these teams is their offensive line and the production of the offensive line. And even when these offensive lines play decent, I can see them running the football because Saquon Barkley, box office. Again, I've talked about him enough on these airways. I think, honestly, Brian Robinson is as good as advertised. I talked about him enough on these airways. And then you throw the Airbnb factor into the mix. You got Airbnb, offensive genius, offensive guru, Brian Daboll, who is in, you know, New York, offensive genius, offensive guru. So when it comes down, you got to match these guys up player for player. I take Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin, and Curtis Samuel over name any of these, you know, Walmart brand wide receivers that the New York Giants got. Darren Waller, if you want to hit your wagon to Darren Waller, be my guest. But I have tons of history to show that, again, he's going to show up for a game. He may be in uniform for the next game. Don't show up. You got Saquon Barkley, who is all world. But, again, at the end of the day, pound for pound, give me the Commanders' offense. Give me the Commanders' team over the New York Football Giants team, a team that last year, again, no disrespect to them, they won the ball games. They won six games by one possession. Okay? So, again, you win the game, just like the third. But the law of averages tell me, gentlemen, that the New York Giants are not going to be that, quote-unquote, fortunate this year in one-possession ball games with the Lester Stella offense. Missing with that.
Yeah, see, I listen. The Commanders' secondary is not as good as you think. I think the linebackers are okay. The defensive line is really good.
I'm looking at it every day. I'm in training camp every day
I'm telling you. Last year they weren't as good. They weren't as good. They still have problems. I think they still have issues at safety. That's just from what I've seen. I think TP Sterling Shepard. I don't know if he makes the 53. To be honest with you, and I love Sterling Shepard.
Name your five receivers you got.
I agree with you, TP. But what I'm hearing, what I've been watching, and what I've been hearing is that he might not make the 53. And
name
I don't
the
think
five.
It's right.
Name the five. I'll, listen, who you think?
I agree with you. What I'm hearing is he might get cut. That's what I'm hearing. I don't agree with it. I think he should make the roster. I'm telling you what I've heard.
There's a song called Takeover by Sean Carter, and in the middle of that joint he said, "We don't believe you. You need more people."
Rockefeller Fuse in the game.
He's coming off a serious injury. No pun intended,
right.
Serious. They said Paris Campbell looks really good in the slot. Jalen Hyatt is that dude. Jalen Hyatt is really good.
He's better than Slayton. He's better than Darius Slayton.
Darius Slayton is their only outside threat. He's their only
That's your third receiver. I'll help you get the five off.
Hang on. Isaiah Hodgins looks really good. He had a monster playoff game, right? Like, listen, Okay. I'm not the one. TP, I'm not the one writing it. I agree with you. I'm not the one writing it.
I want to see the audible. I don't think Hodges is going to have the leg up over Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard is an intricate piece of that offense. Intricate.
Yeah, he is.
He started blooming late in that season last year. Like, if Shepard's on, if he's upright, he's better than him. You're going to have, I don't believe that. You're going to have to show me the article. And then you only named four. Who's the fifth? What, Robinson? Robinson's going to get in there before
Robinson would be better. They went out there and signed Cole Beasley. Cole Beasley's on the roster.
Listen, put it this way. I put a steak dinner on. I bet you don't cut him. I bet a steak dinner y'all don't cut him. I don't want to.
I'm telling you.
No, I know you don't want to. I know your heart is invested. Bet that he don't get cut.
He's going to get cut. I don't want to put that out there. I don't want to put that energy out there because I love Sterling Shepard. He's the longest tenured Giant. I love watching him play, but he doesn't stay healthy. He's coming off a really bad injury, and you got Isaiah Hodgins, you got Wendell Robinson who's out, but you know in the slot he's dangerous. They got Cole Beasley they just signed, Darius Slayton, Paris Campbell, Jalen Hyatt, Jamison Crowder. There ain't enough room for all these receivers, dude. They wouldn't have brought in Cole Beasley if they thought Sterling Shepard. Okay.
No. What I'm saying is Cole Beasley's been in the league forever, ain't really got right. You signed Jamison Crowder, who's been in the league forever, ain't really got right. You got Paris Campbell, who couldn't catch on with Indianapolis Colts, he ain't got right. You got Isaiah Hodges who came on late last year. You got a rookie in Hyatt who we have no idea what's going to happen. We see his first action this coming week when they play the Detroit Lions. You know, preseason game.
He's a third round pick.
Yeah, I mean, because draft picks, you know, at the wide receiver position always pan out, right? Come on, dog. You missed me with that nonsense. Like,
you guys act like I want Sterling Shepard to get cut. That's not what I'm saying. I'm telling you, he might not make the roster.
I mean, you put your bad product out to the people. Like, what?
I'm doing it objectively and telling you what I'm hearing. Listen, Paris Campbell's played, 16, 17 games for the first time in his career. Career numbers. Not like he's had a Hall of Fame season, but I'm like, there's a reason they brought him in. If they thought Sterling Shepard was really healthy and ready to go, they wouldn't have signed Cole Beasley a week ago.
Let me ask you this question. How come the injury statement that you can make about Paris Campbell works, but when I talk about the injury history of Darren Waller, injury's part of the game. Come on.
First of all, I didn't say injuries are part of the game. TP said that. I didn't say that. You said how did they update their receiving core. I told you Darren Waller. I didn't say anything about injuries. I asked you if he was any better than anybody else they had on their team last year. That's what I asked you. TP's the one that said that about the injuries, not me.
I have a hard time picking.
What did I say about injuries? About Darren Waller's injury?
Was the seven games?
I said Darren Waller was going to be an interesting piece for y'all. Wait, I said his injury was.
He's trying to come back and saying because he brought up the injury history of Waller that wasn't a good signing, but you said you can't take it. You said you can't take his past injuries into account this season. Now he's trying to catch people in trouble. I didn't even say that at all.
I don't even recall.
You mentioned Paris Campbell's injury situation, Dylan. You mentioned the fact that, you know, if this player wasn't indecent, they wouldn't have signed Cole Beasley because this player's been injury prone and that player's been injury prone. And you was the one that put the word out there, which you was quote unquote hearing that Sterling Shepard, you know, is not going to make the 53 because of injury. But when I mentioned that, the reason why I'm disagreeing with the whole Darren Waller signing,
I didn't say he's not going to make the 53 because of injury. I didn't say that he's not going to make it 53 because of injury. No, I didn't. I did not say he's going to not make the 53 because of injury. I said he's not going to make the 53 because he's going to be eligible to get cut because these other players are outplaying him right now. That's what I'm hearing. I'll get you the freaking article, Terrius.
You mentioned this whole thing by starting out by his injury, the fact that he's coming off an injury, the fact that he hasn't panned out because he's coming off a significant injury. Again, we can roll back to tape.
They signed him to a one-year, $1 million deal. Is that somebody that you believe in if you're the Giants?
Okay, so let me ask you this question. Why would you sign him to
a
one-year,
whatever million
dollar
deal? I just asked you a question. If you're the Giants. No, if you're the Giants, you just signed somebody to a one-year, $1.3 million deal after they had season-ending surgery. If that's somebody you believe in that you think is going to make this roster.
Then why would you waste your time signing him to the deal?
And,
mm-hmm.
and to a one-year, $1 million deal?
That's the same thing Detroit did with Marvin Jones Jr. They did the same thing with Marvin Jones.
Your receiving room has 13 people in it right now. Why waste your time and energy signing somebody to a one-year deal if you don't foresee him potentially being in the mix? And again, you started this whole conversation talking about the fact that he's coming off an injury. You just mentioned it again. Talk about him coming off his injury. But once again, that's the circle around back to what I was talking about initially. If you can use injury to justify cutting and releasing Sterling Shepard, then why can't I mention injury as a determining factor as to why I feel the New York Giants did not upgrade their roster?
Because I don't know what you're talking about. Because I don't – what do you mean that injury didn't – what do you mean that injury didn't upgrade their roster? Serious. Tell me the receivers on this roster. Wait, no. Wait, stop. Tell me the receivers that are on this roster right now that are worse than the receivers we had last year. Tell me Darren Waller isn't better than anybody we had on the roster last year.
Okay.
Just
I will give you that. Oh.
That's what I asked you before. And now you're trying to make me look like the idiot.
No.
All right, you know what? I'm wrong. You're right. Darius is right. The villain is wrong. Go ahead. There you go.
No, basket.
Go ahead. I'm done.
I'm done
because you're not answering my question. Go ahead.
No. We're not going to stay past this. My point is this, Barry. The issue that I have is the fact that you're justifying signing Darren Waller as in quote unquote upgrade to your receiver room, to catching your passes. My issue was the whole simple fact that Darren Waller has not been healthy for a full 16, 17-game season his whole effing career. So if I'm the guy who's going to say, I don't think the Giants upgraded or got better and the rest of the team in the division subsequently did, then you come back and say, Sterling Shepard did. Sterling Shepard may not make the 53-man roster. The room is too busy. He's coming off an injury. Make it make sense. If you can say the reason why Sterling Shepard is not going to make the roster because of his injury, I'm saying the reason why I don't think the New York Giants upgraded is because you signed a guy who's injury prone. It's not rocket science. Me personally, I'm not understanding what you're not getting.
What you're not getting is that I did not say Sterling Shepard will not make the 53 because he's injured. You said that. I didn't say that. I said that there's other receivers in the room that would make it over him. You said because he's injured. I said he's coming off of injuries. I didn't say that's the reason why he's going to get cut. You said that. I didn't say that.
He's coming off an injury.
You're my man.
You
know what?
You're my man. I love you.
Okay.
You're a crazy guy.
Okay. All right. Okay.
You're my man. I love you. But come on, dog. The whole reason why Sterling Shepard was even brought up, the whole reason why he was brought up is because you mentioned it because he was trying to justify your receiver room.
And you said that he may not make the roster.
Based on
what he was quoting. I can't listen. I cannot wait for usually it takes like maybe 30 minutes to an hour for this episode to be live on Amazon. I can't wait to listen to it back. I can't wait.
I encourage the people
to listen to this back and to hear me say that the reason that Sterling Shepard's going to get cut is because he's always injured. That's not what I said. I didn't say he's going to get – I said he's going to get cut because there's other receivers in the room that would probably get – they would keep over him. I didn't say he's going to get cut because
and he's coming
it's
off
a giant,
of injury. I said
he's coming off of injury. Yes, I said that. I didn't say that's the reason he's going to get cut. I said the reason he's going to get cut is there's the other receivers in the room. That's what I said.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay. If you say so.
I love how the show gets dominated by Giants. Though. We're talking about Eric the Enemy, and it always goes to the Giants because you guys love to hate on my Giants. I love it.
No,
I love it.
Wait, I tried to defend the Giants. I literally said they're not the worst team in the
division. I know you did. Sirius is the bully. Sirius is the one that said the Giants have no offensive line when they have one of the best offensive tackles in the league. Sirius is the one. Sirius is the instigator. You see, this is the problem. The show is the hero versus the villain. TP and the villain clearly disagree. It's when Sirius gets on this show, he's the troublemaker. He's the one that comes in and talks the junk. He's the one that said the Giants have no offensive line. We got one of the best offensive tackles in the league. TP is the one that actually defended the team. Sirius is the problem. Sirius is the one. Mom, if you're watching, if you're listening at home, Sirius is the problem. I am a good boy. I do what I'm supposed to do. TP is a friend of the family. Avery loves him, and she knows that TP is a good guy. It's that guy, Sirius, in the DMV. He's the troublemaker. It's him. TP actually defended the Giants for once. And then what does Sirius do? Oh, no, they don't have a good offensive line. They don't have a good defense. Well, they have a couple of players. They don't really have a good defense. The Commanders have a better defense. What? We got next Lawrence.
Okay.
Serious.
Okay.
Give me a break.
You got next Lawrence and? I have to say, I like how one offensive tackle makes the whole offensive line great.
You said Washington was better than New York.
Well,
Washington doesn't even have an offensive line.
No, what I said.
If they did, they would have made the playoffs last year.
Go back. I said what it's going to come down to is the offensive line. Again, I'm not understanding.
Lies.
I know I speak fast when I get hyped, but I'm speaking pretty good English right now. What I said was I think both offensive lines need some work, and then it's going to come down to both offensive lines. I said both defensive lines are stellar. Well, defensive lines are great. I said the secondary, I like the secondary. You came back and said, you know, the Washington Commanders, the secondary is black and whack and this, that, and the third. At the end of the day, we're going to listen to the replay, and I'll be waiting patiently for my apology on Tuesday night show. That's all I'm going to say. I need the apology to be as loud as July. That's what I need. That's all I'm asking for. I need the apology to be as loud as July was.
Apologize. Listen to the show over. TP. He said that that line was boo boo. He said both lines are trash. I'll give you the Commanders line is trash. I'll give you that.
Look, for me, I apologize.
You have one tackle that makes the rest of the four positions elite. My bad. I apologize.
Wow.
My bad.
Goodness. Cooking. Oh, my God.
I'm like, oh my God, the line was better last year than it's been in the last 5 years.
You want
to
golf?
Can we agree to that?
The line went from
can we agree on that?
Normal shit.
Can we agree on that? Can we agree on that? And then I have to go. It's my nap time. I want to get a warm glass of milk.
Go to bed.
Sirius has got me in a TP. Sirius has got me in a mood. I swear, TP. Sirius is not invited to Shelton, Connecticut. He is not invited. I don't want him there. I don't want him there. Anywhere there. Malik, you are welcome anytime. Not serious.
In that same song, people from a distance can't tell who is who. So stop with this childish stuff, brother. I'm grown. Please leave this alone. Don't throw rocks at that throne. Do not bark up no trees. These trees will fall on you. I don't know why I would have to forewarn you. Please. Like, please.
Not today.
He's not
going to
play.
He's not
cool at all.
Y'all are not. Y'all made your bed, now sleep, okay?
And you know they do it on purpose. It's like my son has to be on the Steelers just so I'm constantly reminded of this kid every day. I have to see him in Steeler black and gold, even the practice jerseys, the Steelers. I got to see everything
so
I'm reminded
that
clown in the DMV that I have to converse with every day. Every day.
So beautiful.
Yo, you want to know the worst part about this series? Serious? He's a Steelers fan. Yes.
Yeah.
Who's a Steelers fan?
Yeah.
No, I'm not.
Xavier made you a fan of what team now?
I'm not answering. To the gate, only black and gold I wear to the game is a Wu-Tang shirt. That's it. That's as far as it goes.
He's wearing black and yellow.
Lies.
He's even wearing
black and yellow.
Oh, my goodness.
I hate you right now.
This is terrible. What's happening in the world?
Politics is usual. I hate it. I hate him.
Please, somebody come save the world. Please, he's a part Mets, part Yankees, part Steeler, part Giant, part whoever. I don't know what's going on. This is pandemonium. And then he had the nerve to sit up here and tell y'all, bad always wins, in the words of Sirius Simmons. Fix me with that one.
I hate him.
Mentioned every payment.
I hate him.
Oh, Jesus.
This part of the show has been brought to you by PHI Apparel. Go to their website. Use the promo code CHEF. Get that order. Just mention Sirius so that they'll probably make you pay full price because nobody likes Sirius. He has no clout in Philadelphia. I'm done. I had a blast. I love you guys. Sirius, give us a plug, and we can get out of here, because I really am tired of talking to you.
Yo, Sirius, I know we got to get him out of here, but Sirius, in the words of Nasir Jones, life is harsh, hug me, don't reject me. Or make records and disrespect me. Blatant or disrespect.
Like,
no, more.
I love how he goes from takeover to ether in a minute, too. I love it.
That's beautiful.
They call me timeless.
Yes, sir. What?
Timeless.
Yeah, bro.
I was legit angry that the Lions weren't in New York, New Jersey, because I wanted to go there with you. But whatever, we'll see. We'll have a little fun.
You ain't want to see what we up to. Them boys is brewing some stuff in Detroit. Good God Almighty! Well, I see some footage. Man, it's gonna be a problem.
I heard they were giving Daniel Jones the business in practice yesterday.
Today he did good, but that ain't who I'm talking about. Everybody in the world was like, what's Detroit doing at 12? They got Jahmyr Gibbs. They should go crazy against somebody else, man. If y'all don't go to YouTube, look at the footage on Jahmyr Gibbs at the first practice, and you're going to be like, this is insanity. If Lord forbid, please keep this boy healthy, that's a complete problem. That's a complete problem. A complete problem.
Wow.
Like he's beating defenders by like 10 yards and gaining like more yards. Like if there's more football field, people are in a lot of trouble. That is a speed demon with his hair on fire.
That offense is scary, man. That offense is going to be scary, man. Y'all better win that division. Expectations are high.
No, don't put that
They're
on
talking
the
to Barry
chill.
Sanders.
I was watching
NFL Network, right? And they were starting their joint practice. They were talking to Barry Sanders. He's like, man, I wish I was running behind that line.
Yes, sir. Yes, he did say that. I'm chilling. That's why he is killing him with that tackle talk, y'all. He's killing that. And Barry talking good about Jahmyr Gibbs. That's why I know how karma works. That's why I'm chilling. But what I saw, the way that he was pulling away from linebackers, yo, it's not fair. They're gonna have to D him with a corner or a safety. They have to. Linebackers cannot handle him. That's a mismatch every down. Every down is a mismatch.
I love it. I gotta get that division, man. I don't care.
Leave us alone. No, listen, no turning to James Greenwood. That's what you're doing right now. We got Teddy Two Gloves. This is what people want to do. Everybody trying to come back to Motown. Look, please. We're all right. I need winners. I need winners, bro.
We in the D, baby. Terrence, get us out of here, bro. Talk to me, bro.
Yo, man, it's your boy Terrence up in that 412-703, man. Such a privilege and a pleasure to be here with you guys on another edition of the Callers Cookout, man. Yo, definitely check out the blogs and then the website, and then the finger foods is coming back. You know what I'm saying? We took a little bit of a hiatus, man. Football's here, and, you know, that's kind of what we get. We shine at that right there. With that being said, before I get out of here, I will say this. You know, everybody's making their jokes and they make lay about the faith given in Alabama. Salute to all that was involved. I'll leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? The significance of that as African-Americans was epic. So with that being said, go purchase your folding chair, and I will catch you guys on that one.
Don't do it.
I was walking to my son's practice today, and there was a couple of those old kindergarten chairs with the hard plastic bottoms. The hard plastic bottom was missing. I said, Alabama Slammers, they got – somebody got some chairs swinging.
Oh, my God.
They on sale at Walmart. Go get you a chair. I bet you they – that's what happens.
The crazy part about all of that is you'll finally, like, people are there to help somebody else in trouble like that. They was literally going to jump him crazy if nobody was there. One guy got down there and it helped him by himself with like six other dudes. And then once everybody else came, it was like the masses turned on them. It was even other people of their descent helping, you know, the black Americans. Like they knew they was in the wrong. Like, that's incredible.
Absolutely.
But once Sirius had to hit the nail on the head with that folding chair, once that folding chair came out, all hell broke loose. People getting thrown in the water. And then that one person in the red shirt got hit. Like, I don't know if y'all remember the game at, like, Chuck E. Cheese and stuff like that back in the day. It was like a beaver that used to come out the hole. You had to have the mallet and knock him in the top of the head and knock him back down. The way that he hit homeboy or that lady, I don't know if it was a lady or a guy, but it stopped the whole show.
Lady.
The cops had to come and throw. That was a lady. The cops had to throw him on the ground. It was like, yo, you bonked him too bad. It was, yo, incredible.
Yeah, listen, I don't even think charges are going to be brought up against those people that were swinging on them white boys. I mean, they listen, nobody deserves to get assaulted and hit with a chair. We make light of it, but you after round, you found out. That's what happened. Sorry. Sorry.
Obviously, that phone takes on new meaning now.
Like, listen, once that hat went up in the air, it was on, like, he was like, F this job.
He tried to rush him.
That was
when he threw the hat, the guy tried to rush him. Like, what? It was like, yo, he was like, that's the opportunity to go get him. And they was winning at that point, but homeboy ran down, like, three flights of stairs to come get to them and help clean that up. I'm like, thank goodness, because he the guy tore up by himself. That was bad. People were jumping off the riverboat, swimming to the fight. That was crazy. That was crazy.
Because they were drunk. They should have parked their boat there. They should have been there at any point. And then they tried to get up in that dude's face and try to jump on. Yep. And they talk about. And it was like that woman. She had no. She shouldn't have been hit with a chair. Well, you tried to use your white privilege to get up in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. You didn't get mad because she got hit. You didn't get mad because she was a woman. You got mad because she's white. That's why you got mad.
Yep.
And you found out.
Look at
it, I love it. I don't care. We going to talk about it. We all family in here. We going to talk about it. It's right. TV though. You know, brother.
No. Look, I try to fine line it, but watching how they okay, so if you and it's funny that we're talking about the situation, but if you watch the whole situation, the dude that started the fight with his shirt off, right? I guess it was like a football play. So he sent the two dudes past him to act like nothing happened. Mm-hmm. And so the two dudes walk past him. As soon as he said it, they came right back to like start the jump. Like that was the setup. It was like, oh, shoot. So that's when the dude ran down the stairs to come, like, at least come clean it up. And then it turned into him. Then another person come running downstairs, dude jumping from the ship, swimming over there. And then that's when the melee happened. And then they was outnumbered. And that's good karma for some people that was up there following the rules. And it's always us that have to follow the rules. But we did it right. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And he's doing his job, let alone not only is he doing his job, it's being recorded. On him just say like trying to be like, yo, y'all got to move it. Y'all can't park it here. And they was like, nah, we not having it. You telling us what to do in the middle of a racially issued Alabama. Like, no. And it sure came out, you know, in his favor at the end of the day. He took a couple of lumps, and that's the bad part about it. But at the end of the day, the people came there to help him. And thank goodness that it was people there on site to, like, make sure that it didn't get bad and they – ran away and got away with that madness. That's incredible.
You ain't gonna get away with it. Not on our watch. Listen, I'm glad somebody stuck up for him because that wasn't right. And you know what? They should have been in that situation.
That could have went very, 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 very left very, very quickly. And the one thing about it is that we can move on. The one thing about it is, if those 40 some odd brothers wanted to do more harm, they could have. And so many times. African Americans on the opposite end of that situation, and you know what I'm saying, like the brother doesn't make it home. You know what I'm saying? So the significance of that whole situation, like from the fact that the name of the boat was Harriet Tubman, from the simple fact that the river that they were on was used to import and sell slaves, to the fact that the African American Avengers assembled and the manner that they did, the fact that the 16-year-old dude swam and pulled himself up. The brother was 16. His name was Aaron, by the way, which I find highly ironic. But brother was slammed across and pulled himself up to get himself into a situation like everything that we have been fighting for as African Americans and dealing with as a culture was on display there, and the fact that we responded in the manner in which we did as a culture. You know what I'm saying? Forget the fact that it was a chair. Like, I mean, it could have been anything, but the fact that they rallied together to save that brother who was in a situation that he had no business being in when he was just doing his damn job trying to get the boat docked. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is a time where, you know, you're on your boat, you're drinking your whatever, and you got sauced up. Now you got sauced up and subsequently got effed up. And then the coup de grace, that whole situation, is the fact that they went to the hospital and refused service because the hospitals that they were at were all African Americans.
Wow.
We were the medical professionals at the hospital, and they chose not to, they refused service and said, this hospital is full of N-words. And they refused service. I was reading the article. They refused services. I should get to you guys offline. But this thing is so littered with just privilege and racism and hate, whatever the case may be, that, again, they got what's coming on. You know what I'm saying? They got
it could have been a lot worse.
I hope this is a step in the right direction for other brothers and sisters looking out for each other and not necessarily turning the peace on each other. Like, again, there were no pee-pees involved. There was none of that involved. They beat these people with their hands and fists and whatever else they could find to protect that man. Like, you know, they need to cut it out, man. Cut it out.
Exactly. They looking for the three of those people that docked that boat. One of them turned himself in. They're looking for the other three. One of them turned themselves in. I think they're looking for the other three so that they can book them and all that kind of stuff. You're right. There are charges. But I'm just glad that, you know, there were no guns drawn, like, because they're gonna get
right.
Back
that's the best
quick,
part. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, thank God for that. But listen, you know, even Jesus had to turn over the tables in the temple, right? So I'll leave it at that. TP, get us out of here, bro.
Well, this done went from mayhem to spiritual, y'all. I don't know what to do with y'all. Y'all got a preacher kid in here. Y'all got the Jordans in here. I had to be an innocent bystander for real. They told me the bad one. I was up here eating popcorn and jujubes and soda. Like, I didn't know what else to do. But I was just enjoying myself today. I felt like a fat kid eating cake for real. And I am chubby, so y'all already know how that go down. Sports City, continue to check us out on a week-by-week basis. Y'all already know how we go down. Shout out to my people, man. As much as I be trying not to push the envelope, you hear the people bringing that to you on some stuff that's a real issue in this world today of our racial issues, man, and knowing that we all come from walks of life where we it's diverse areas, man, and we got to be able to live together. Forget that exists. Oh, we got to exist together. We got to coexist. Man, people are doing their jobs. You felt like you was bigger than the situation to try to take this man out. What if nobody was there? What if nobody was recording it? That's a river that they could have ended up drowning him in. And the historical fact that Sirius hit us with, I did not know that that was the river that the slaves was on. Like, bro, that just shook me. That just shook me, man. I'm learning on this. I'm thankful for what we've been able to provide today and continue to rock with us. Hopefully Mike is back in the building tomorrow. If not, the brunch will be back in session where we will be talking the ending of some of the preseason games that have been going down as I think starts Thursday and Friday. We already have one with the Jets and the Browns. My boys take flight Friday. I think the Giants play us. So me and Barry on the same day. The Steelers, I think, play on the 11th too. So everybody's going to be getting their first little glimpse of their football team, for real, for real. So on that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the Chefs again. Bad don't always win. You see how this stuff go down. And if you don't know, now you know.
Sports City Chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. they well in tune. Bloom like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again. Sports City, Chef, you, Chef, you. Sports City, Chef, you, Chef, you. Yeah. Cabbie. Taj.
Woo! Connecticut.